May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When I lived in Vancouver, there was this park where I walked my lovely dog, Sam, almost every day for 6 years, called Almond Park. And at the head of this park was a big leaf maple, the most magnificent tree that I had ever seen. That maple had this kind of magnetic pull on me. And in ways too deep and too long to explain, it became a major part of my life and a major part of my sense of call to ministry. Until there came one March, when we had such a terrible succession of storms, buckets of water that saturated the ground, and these howling winds that would whip up out of nowhere day and night, day after day, night after night. And on the morning after the storm had finally died away, I found the tree lying broken in the center of the field. And after that, there was a hole at the head of Almond Park where the tree had stood. For months, all that I could see was the hole where my tree should have been. Until one day something changed. For the first time in all the years that I had been walking to that park, I noticed the other trees. A perfect semicircle of trees that I had never paid attention to before. And I started counting. And there were six on one side and six on the other. When the big tree was there, these trees looked small and unimportant. Now, with the big tree gone, I could see these disciples clearly, each with its own unique beauty, each with its own unique gifts. Today, we celebrate the Feast of the Ascension. According to Acts, Jesus appeared to his disciples for 40 days after his resurrection, which is why Ascension is always celebrated on a Thursday, because it's always 40 days after a Sunday. And then one day, their time of being together with him was at last, finally over. They went out with him to Bethany, a little ways outside of Jerusalem. And there he blessed them for the last time, and he was taken up out of their sight. This second time that Jesus was taken away from them was very different from the first time when he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane and crucified, when they all fled in terror from the Romans. This time it's totally different. It's calm. They know that God is at work. They know that God will triumph in the end. And yet, this is them saying farewell once again to the one who had called them and given them purpose, the one they had followed. And so we get this fantastic moment that opens the book of Acts, when the disciples are all standing uncertainly, staring up into heaven, contemplating the hole that Jesus is leaving in their midst. And an angel appears and says, "Go on, off you go. He's told you what to do, so get on with it." In fact, it's like the angel is saying, it's not his ministry anymore. It's your ministry now. So off you go. And why I think it's important that this moment opens the book of Acts which is, of course, about all the things that those guys did, is that Acts opens with them not being quite ready, not quite yet. In this moment, all they can focus on is the hole that Jesus left. They don't yet realize how he has called and equipped them to lead, how he has called and equipped them to step up, to find their ministry, and to become the seeds out of which the church would grow. And here's a fascinating thing that you may not have pieced together, because I hadn't pieced together this until I heard a fantastic biblical scholar talking about it, that what we then see in Peter and Paul and the other disciples is that in all the key ways in the book of Acts, they mirror and mimic exactly how Jesus' ministry was in Luke, which is the first, there are two volumes of the same story. Luke is about Jesus' ministry. Acts is about the disciples learning to take on the same ministry that Jesus had. But it opens with them not being ready, not quite yet. As Christians, we are called to hear the story of Jesus and his disciples, not only as stories that happened once to people long ago. We are called to enter into the story of Scripture and to see our lives through its lens. That's why we have the church calendar, all these things that move us through the story year after year to help us see and identify. This isn't just a story that happened once to people long ago. This is a story that continues to happen to us in our lives. We are to understand our experiences according to the pattern of Scripture, and then to live out that pattern in our daily lives. And so, friends, here we are on Ascension Sunday, when Jesus says farewell to his disciples, and I, who have been your leader, am preparing to depart. So while I am not the slightest bit interested in comparing myself to Jesus, I would quite like to invite all of us to see ourselves in the disciples. And I invite you, friends, to see yourselves in the disciples and in the journey of growth that they experienced only after Jesus had left. It was only after Jesus left that they realized the leadership that they were really capable of. It was only after he left that they learned to rely on the Holy Spirit and to work together as a ministry team. All these things simply would not have happened in their lives if Jesus was still with them, always being there in person. That is the pattern for our lives as Christians, that it is not only Jesus' ministry, and we are to be passive and quiet, good followers. Jesus leaves, and the challenge for us, for each of us, what will our ministry look like? What will our ministry responsibilities be? Next Sunday is my last Sunday with you, and we'll be together on Zoom. I will pray for you and bless you, and it will be real. You will pray for me, and I hope that we can have some anamnesis together, you know, where it is really as if we are all standing together, laying hands on one another and pouring out blessings upon each other, as we have done any number of times here in this church. And let me tell you, being here makes it more real that we're not here, because when we're together on Zoom and I'm at home, this is where our community is now. This is where we have been real together throughout this whole pandemic. So I hope next Sunday when we pray, we can have that memory of being together and laying hands on each other. And I hope that it will be real for us on Zoom. And then I will say farewell. And for a time, it may feel that there is a hole at the head of the church. Yet my prayer for you, my brothers and sisters, is this, that you may look around and notice one another, the incredible gifts that you have right here in your midst, the faith and the ability that you have together as brothers and sisters in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. It has been the most beautiful thing to be with you and get to know you and see all of this in you. The ministry that you have all shared together during this pandemic, in which you personally have made tangible impacts on one another's lives, it has been a real ministry, your real ministry. May you realize soon what has been true all along and what a leader can help us not to see, that this is what you are called to. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have in your midst everything that you need to carry St. George's on this good path for many years to come. You have both the gifts, and you also have that interior strength that when you need to say no to something, you can. And I believe that if that time comes ever again in your lives, you will. So you have everything that you need to carry St. George's forward for the next many years. May the memories of all the good that has come before equip you and empower you for what will come next. May the story of Scripture dwell within you and give light to your path. I want to close today with a prayer from our reading from Ephesians today. Let us pray. My brothers and sisters, I lay my hands upon you and pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may understand what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe. We remember that the disciples themselves underwent such a transformation from uncertainty to hope, and from there into a powerful, life-changing ministry. May this memory of their transformation become real in your midst, my brothers and sisters, and in your lives, and at St. George's. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.